Good morning. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Names, whether they belong to people, whether they belong to brands or companies, have the power to communicate something significant. Names. A farmer had so many children, he ran out of names. So he started naming his kids after things around the farm. The farmer's youngest children were a set of twins, a boy and a girl. On the first day of school, the teacher asked each child their name, and when she got to one of the farmer's twins, the boy replied, "My name is Wagon Wheel." The teacher said, "I need your real name, young man," to which the boy replied, "It's Wagon Wheel, ma'am, really." Now the teacher, not quite happy about this, thinking it's a joke, said, "Okay, young man, since you won't tell me your real name, you just march yourself right down to the principal's office this minute." Well, the boy got out of his chair, turned to his twin sister, and said, "Come on, chicken feet, she ain't going to believe you neither." Humor aside, names are important. Like that ever really happens. But names are important. They have power to communicate something significant and meaningful. It gives one an identity, your name, the power of names. What's in a name? And there is something special about being named and the influence that becomes attached to that name. Now, certain names carry certain cultural weight and cultural meaning, for good and for ill. For instance, in no particular order, let me give you some names of people who have shaped human history. Names outside of the Bible. Here are some names: Aristotle, Plato, Lincoln, Gandhi, Churchill, Stalin, Washington, Hitler, Edison, Beethoven, Mandela, Einstein, just to name a few of individuals who have shaped human history for good and for ill. Or maybe from the more mainstream pop culture, certainly some names you might recognize: Elvis, Sinatra, Madonna, Trump, Shania, Gretzky, and we could go on. Names sometimes we even get tired of hearing about. But all of those names carry some semblance, aspect of weight and meaning. Yet, there is a name that is beyond all names. There is a greater name. There is a name that is incomparable, indescribable. A name that is above all names. A name that causes people to rejoice, and for others, it causes them to shudder. For some, his name brings rescue, meaning, purpose, power, and peace. For others, it makes them walk away, shift uncomfortably. And perhaps you've experienced just that. Just bringing up his name in a gathering changes the atmosphere. Gets people to kind of walk away, look down, want to change the subject as quick as possible. And you know the name that I'm talking about. It is the name of Jesus, a name that can topple governments and empty prison cells. Now, the name of Jesus is a name that provokes all kinds of reactions. Every day, every week, even in our small community of Campbellford. Some people show indifference to his name, and some even feel hatred. But to those of us who know Jesus as Lord and Savior, his name is precious and higher than any other. And one day in heaven, we will eagerly bow before him in worship. Now, last week, during our time together in worship, we sang a song called "What a Beautiful Name." And perhaps it's a favorite of many. It is of mine. And in this song, we sang a line that went like this: "What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus." Just think about his name this morning and what his name means to you. In Scripture, we learn in Isaiah 9, verse 6, it says of Jesus that his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In Matthew 1:21, we learn of Mary. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And that is what the name of Jesus means. Jehovah saves. And Romans 10 verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What a name. What a wonderful name it is. In Acts 4 verse 12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. The scriptures are so clear that there is salvation only in the name of Jesus. Philippians 2 verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What a wonderful name. A name that is changing lives as I speak. His name is wonderful, but not just his name. His birth was wonderful. His life was wonderful. His teaching was wonderful. His miracles were wonderful, are wonderful. His transfiguration was wonderful. His resurrection was wonderful. When he comes again, it will be wonderful. And walking with him every day is wonderful. Now, since Jesus ascended into heaven over 2,000 years ago, many men and women have done great work for the kingdom of God because of the name of Jesus. And this morning we're going to look at two of them, Peter and John. And to start, and before we look at our passage, let me just set the stage for you in what happened that day so long ago. And we find that out in Acts chapter 3. And in Acts chapter 3, if you want to follow along in your Bibles, what we learn is that Peter and John are used by God to heal a crippled beggar who had begged at the temple gate for all of his life. And if you're familiar with this wonderful story of a man whose life is changed by faith in the powerful name of Jesus, you will know that this stirred up a lot of amazement and astonishment in Jerusalem that day. So this miracle happens. It stirs up the people, causes a lot of excitement. And when you think about that, what happened that day, and would something like that happen again today? Well, of course, God still works as he did then. But if a miracle were to happen downtown Campbellford or in the streets of No Frills, it would be the same. It would get people talking. It would get people and cause people to come together. And social media would be in a frenzy. There would be amazement. And there'd be questions. People would be asking, who was involved? Because people always want to know names. Who is responsible? Who was there? Who saw it? Who can I get a hold of that can tell me what happened? And so this is the type of atmosphere going on in Jerusalem after Peter and John. God uses Peter to heal this crippled beggar. Acts 3 verse 11. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. So people are gathering around, and there's this buzz on the streets. And as I just referenced to, people are coming together and talking about what's happened. Do you remember that crippled beggar that used to sit by the temple gate? Well, he's walking now. He's no longer lame. How is this possible? How is this possible? So as people gather around Peter, Peter uses this as an opportunity to tell people about Jesus. And so what Peter does is he points them to Jesus, because it is Jesus and the power in his name that has healed this man. What a wonderful name that Peter now, given the opportunity, takes. Acts 3 verse 16. By faith in the name of Jesus, Peter is saying, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. So the message is clear. By faith in the name of Jesus, this crippled man was made strong. So Peter does not hesitate to proclaim the good news of the gospel. And as a servant of the Lord, given this incredible calling by Jesus himself to go in my name, to tell people about me, as a servant of the Lord, he is aware that God is working all the time and working mightily across Jerusalem. And in this moment, he tells them about Jesus and why Jesus came to earth. And he then makes it very clear what people have to do. Because people are often are wondering, in a moment like this, there's openness. There's searching. And Peter doesn't hesitate to then tell them what to do with the name of Jesus. Listen to Acts 3:19. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. The message is clear. Peter calls them to repent as he does for us, as he does to all the world. Turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. The message of the gospel can't be any more clear in Acts 3:19. Memorize this verse and you will know how to share it with people throughout the week. But here, the message is clear. Times of refreshing will come when you first turn to God with your sins and seek forgiveness in his name. What is Jesus' name? His name is healing. His name is forgiveness. And Peter is declaring his name is new life. Times of refreshing spiritual renewal will come when you turn to the Lord. Now, while Peter was speaking to the crowd, Luke tells us that the religious leaders of the temple, along with the captain of the temple police, were greatly disturbed by what was going on. You'd think that everybody was curious and it's positive and it's wonderful, yet there are still those that were disturbed, that aren't happy about what's going on. And that is still today as well. Because you will have people that are believing and people that are not believing and people that are quite upset and want to know how they can stop it. And so in Acts chapter 4, verses 2 to 3, we learn, if you turn over to Acts chapter 4, it's very clear. They were greatly disturbed, Acts 4, verse 2 says. They're disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John because it was evening. They put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. So in order to silence them, because they were disturbed. They were concerned because there was unrest. It wasn't a peaceful time, they thought. And they saw that what the apostles were doing and that this crowd gathering was disturbing the peace. So they have Peter and John seized and they put them in jail until the next day. Now, this leads us to our passage today, and I'm going to read now Acts 4, verses 5 to 12, so that you can now see where we're going and what is about to transpire. Now, Acts chapter 4, verses 5 to 12 says this: The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. What power? By what power or what name? What name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. This is the reading of the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So they're in prison overnight. God is at work mightily in Jerusalem. A man's life has been transformed because he had faith in the powerful name of Jesus. And so the next day, Peter and John are brought before this council. And boy, as I read, you can tell that a lot of people convened because this was something serious. And they're going about to question Peter and John about what has happened. And if you looked at that question they first asked, it's all about a name. By what name, by what power did you do this? Essentially, they're asking Peter and John, who gave you the authority to do this, to talk about Jesus and his resurrection, to be part of this miracle? Now, you have to understand that this council of officials, they know that their power and their authority rests in Rome, in the Roman legions outside the gates of Jerusalem. Their authority is in the name of Caesar. And so they are curious. So they ask Peter and John, a couple of illiterate Galilean fishermen, for the source of their power and their authority to disrupt the peace of the city, as they have done with this miracle and about preaching about Jesus and the good news. And so they ask in verse 7, by what power or what name did you do this? These officials, they are people of authority. They have power. They understand authority. And in most cases, the accused, and in this case, Peter and John are the accused, they would either give the name of an authority who authorized their actions or would acknowledge that they were acting without authority. But the wording of this question gives Peter a wonderful opportunity to talk about Jesus. I think Peter was quite encouraged by this moment. You can't get an opportunity, an invitation any more clear than this, to a door opening to say, let me tell you about Jesus, what he did to me, and what he is doing right now. And so Peter does not hesitate, and he goes on to talk about the power that God has given them while acting in Jesus' name to proclaim the gospel and for them to see the demonstration of God's power through the healing of this crippled beggar. And in verse 10, if you look there, Peter gives a clear answer in verse 10. Then know this, you and all the people of Israel. This is where he says, this is where our authority and power comes from. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Peter answers that they were acting by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It was Jesus' power that healed the lame man. And so they give all the credit to God. That this is God's work. It has nothing to do with me, Peter is saying. And it has nothing to do with John. It has everything to do with what God is doing in Jerusalem today. And so the formerly lame man standing in their midst is proof of Jesus' power to heal and to save. And that God sent Jesus, their Messiah, to save people from their sins. And if you notice, Peter goes on, he kind of points out that, you know, this was the Jesus whom you crucified, whom you put to death, but who God raised back to life. So Peter is so bold. And he has a boldness that, I don't know about you, but sometimes it's the boldness that I pray that I will be able to walk in every week as well. But when you think about his boldness and where it comes from, we are given that answer in verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. He is a man filled with the Holy Spirit, and he does not shy away from speaking the truth. Don't forget, the lineup of the most powerful temple leaders are before him, surrounding him. Yet he is not intimidated by them. He is not ashamed of the gospel. And he is not hesitant in the least to name and claim Jesus Christ crucified and risen. The reason this man's life has been changed, the wonderful name of Jesus. So then Peter tells them more about Jesus in verse 11 to 12. He goes on to say, he is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Now in verse 11, Peter actually is alluding to Psalm 118, which says the stone which was regarded as worthless, the builders, has become the capstone. In its original context in this psalm, it was a psalm of victory of David. And David was expressing his thanks to God for salvation. He had been surrounded by the nations, but in the name of Yahweh, I cut them off. And so in this reference to the Old Testament, Peter is referring to them and their rejection of Jesus, the cornerstone. And the word cornerstone refers to a large stone joining the intersection of two walls and holding them together. And so what Peter has declaring them guilty of is rejecting. You religious leaders, the builders, have rejected Jesus, who turned out to be the foundation for salvation history. Again, in verse 12, the verse expresses the same thought, but in two different ways. First, there is no salvation except through Jesus, Peter declares. And second, the name of Jesus is key to salvation. Now, Peter closes by saying that salvation is wholly dependent, again, on the power of Jesus' name, that nothing else will do. There is no other name, no other wonderful name by which man can be saved. And if you listen closely, he said, by which we must be saved. And a literal translation of this phrase in Greek is, by which it is necessary for you to be saved. So Peter is telling these men, this council of officials, that they must seek salvation through Jesus Christ, whom they crucified, but who God raised from the dead. You know, at Pentecost, Peter concluded another message that he preached by saying, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, verse 38. And in here today, in Acts 4, Peter is giving a message of hope. A message of hope, because the gospel is good news. It is a message of hope. A hope built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And that next line of that hymn goes, I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Jesus saves. Jesus rescues. Turn to him. So if I ask you this morning, are you without hope? Call upon the name of Jesus. Are you discouraged? Are you tired of being beat by a sinful habit? Call upon the name of Jesus, for he is faithful and he is able. Peter and John, they are on a mission for Jesus. And in Acts 4, we learn that just like Peter and John, as we live and as we love like Jesus, there will be distractions and there will be obstacles in the way. But like Peter, we have the power of the Holy Spirit to walk in boldness, to walk in faith. Now we see a confidence in Peter that is not his confidence, but it's the Spirit of the Lord giving him strength. His courage and his boldness come from knowing Jesus and walking with Jesus every day. And let me tell you, fellow believers, you have it as well because of Jesus. As Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I have been crucified in Christ. It is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. So as a Christian, your boldness, your confidence, your strength will come from your walk with Jesus, your relationship with him. So continue to walk with him daily. These disciples were boldly speaking about Jesus and what he had done for them. And they were repeating the salvation story of Jesus dying on the cross for their sins. They were repeating the name of Jesus just as we are to do as well. And as a result, the Holy Spirit across Jerusalem brought about the change of heart and the repentance that led to, as earlier said, 5,000 new believers that day in Jerusalem. So it's the name that can cause you to go where you've never gone. It's the name that will cause you to do what you've never done or even imagined yourself capable of doing. It's a name equally personal as it is powerful. It's the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name. So this morning in this passage in Acts, we are encouraged again today by the truth of the matter that there is power in the name of Jesus. So speak the powerful name of Jesus over every aspect of your life today. Your health, your family, your safety, your relationships, your workplace. When you're in despair, shout out the name of Jesus. Sing it out when you worship and work. Pray in his name when God leads you to people in need. Whisper the name of Jesus gently to yourself when you feel stressed or rushed. And I'm sure nobody in here ever feels that. But it's good. And I can say that personally and honestly, that sometimes when the stress has come, if you're just saying, Jesus, Jesus, he changes everything. Lift his name up. And also thank him for all that he has done for you. So if you're going through a difficult situation right now, I encourage you, I implore you to just call upon the name, the wonderful name of Jesus.